Let's turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, let's start from verse 36. Luke 7:36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them therefore will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, You have judged correctly. And turned toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she since the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. He did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, Your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, Who is this man who can even forgive sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Most of us should be pretty familiar with this passage. And, you know, just a quick background. We have this woman, and she is an immoral woman. People believe that she is Mary Magdalene, all right, the one that, you know, a lot of demons were cast out of. That's a bit unsure, but it seems like it's probably her. And so she came, and she was a prostitute. And whenever you see the immoral, that's what it means in New Testament language. And so she comes, and she had gotten greatly ministered to, you know, probably. The same woman that just a little while before was thrown at Jesus' feet and he didn't condemn, right? So she feels an incredible sense of gratitude towards the Lord, comes to the Pharisee's house, and you remember the Pharisees who have been the ones that wanted to stone her, and comes into the house and does a few acts of service, to say the least. You know, unbinds her hair, and you guys know in a Jewish setting, a woman that unbinds her hair just basically means they're a prostitute. And so she goes into the house of people that hate her, you know, and she doesn't pay attention to anything else and just starts serving the Lord. And takes a very costly vial of perfume and puts it over his feet and just kisses him with the tears and everything. And so these guys look to her and say, "Oh man, there's something. You know, what's wrong with you know?" And it's funny. You know, there's a bit of comedy right in the scriptures. These guys said, "If this guy were a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that she is." And of course, Jesus was a prophet, and so he answers the prayers. And they still don't believe, right? So, you know, whenever you hear people say, "Yeah, if you do this, then I'll," you know, it's crap, right? It's not. You know, people say, "Prove it to me." You know, they're not really speaking out of sincerity. They're hard to believe, right? It's just they're challenging in their unbelief. And so Jesus comes and, you know, and basically reveals himself. And he does something. He says, look, you, right, since I came in, you didn't even, you know, wash my feet. Now, this was a typical Jewish greeting, right? And so even though this Pharisee invites him into his house, he doesn't even have the courtesy to wipe his feet. You know, and if you guys remember in John 2, when Jesus goes to Cana Galilee and he takes the jars used for purification and he turns them into wine. Well, those jars of purification are what was meant for, and now remember, this is a Pharisee. So he'd have been very, very, in tune with Jewish custom and Jewish law, and he's supposed to wash their feet. You know, which is a religious duty, right? It's purification, right? And this guy doesn't even do that, You know, and so he basically shows Jesus no respect whatsoever. Doesn't anoint him with oil, which is another, you know, greeting, you know, they would do. And then, you know, the third aspect, and he doesn't kiss him, which should be a Jewish greeting, you know, one of those things, you know, back and forth. And this guy doesn't do any of those things, you know, but that his Jesus's greeting that he should have received from the host is being replaced by this woman. You know, and, you know, we talk about the extravagance of God. You know, sometimes, this is a side note, but sometimes when you feel like gypped in the world, you know, that you should have received, you know, something that you deserved, you know, isn't it a wonderful thing that God is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly? You know, all the things that Jesus was dissed with in a certain way, you know, God provides this woman to extravagantly display, right, the honor that was due him, right? These Pharisees, they gave him no honor in inviting him to his house, right? And this would be a normal thing, you know. Now, in our context, we wouldn't quite understand so fully, you know, but it would be, you know, kind of like, you know, someone invites you over to the house, you know, you come over and it's mealtime, you know, doesn't give you any food. You know, they eat in front of you, you know, basically. I'm sure this Pharisee greeted his other guests in that same way, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they come to a situation, that's not the point of the devotion, right? And then eventually, you know, he turns and very famous line, right? You know, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he was forgiven little, loves little. You know, and just displaying the love that this woman had. And then turns to her and says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace, right? As we start exploring faith this week. So she turns and says, your faith has saved you. Okay? Now, as we talk about faith, what kind of faith? I mean, what is this faith that he's talking about here? You know, I mean, where did this faith come? Where is the display of this faith? It was all displayed in her actions, right? She didn't fear the Pharisees. You know, she came to adore Jesus. In other words, she received her salvation. It was an act of gratitude, you know, that was given over to the Lord. You know, and he says, look, your faith has saved you. Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't see any declaration on her part. You know, it says, Jesus, you are the Christ. You know, there was no verbal commitment, you know, or any kind of, you know, a verbal affirmation of anything. No, it was her actions that displayed her faith. You know, as we talked about on Sunday, right? There's the cognitive reality, right? Intellectual conviction, but it's also the volitional surrender of will. What she displayed here, right, was a display of that volitional surrender of her will. You know, she acted out her faith, you know, and she says, hey, man, your faith has saved you. You know, this is what James is talking about. This is what, you know, most of the writers of the New Testament talk about. This is what Paul talks about when he says, work out your faith with fear and trembling. You know, and it's this act of working out our faith, you know, or the faith becoming active, you know, that makes it effective. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're not talking about a works mentality. You know, we're not saying you have to work for it, but what we're talking about is a response of faith. You know, in this woman, right, Jesus did something so profound in her life, you know, and so her response, right, to that touch of God was to act, you know, was to move and to do something. It was a response of faith. She didn't work for the faith, right, it's grace and grace alone, but she responded to that. You know, and so people, you know, always ask me, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, how do you know if someone's saved? Well, you never really know. You know what I mean? I mean, the person can know because there's assurance of salvation, but Jesus also says you'll know them by their fruits. Right? In other words, there would be a response of faith that moves in their life, you know, in such a way that you can recognize, oh, yeah, I think this person, you know, has a relationship with God. There is a response there. You know, in the same way that if you look at a married man, you know, I wonder, well, does this guy love his wife? You know, and there should be a response, you know, of that love. In other words, you know, he's not cheating on someone else, and, you know, he's not sleeping with his secretaries. And then, you know, and one last time he said, oh, you know, I think he loves his wife. You know, and we can see it's a natural fruit, you know, birth out of that love. You know, and so when we talk about faith, you know, in this way, you know, we have to be very clear that we attach faith to action in some ways. That's the volitional surrender of will. And it becomes effective, right, when that part is attached to our intellectual conviction. You know, because if not, what do we have? I mean, I'm sure that you meet people, you know, especially all over Hong Kong that, you know, and I rub shoulders, you know, with non-Christians all the time. You know, and when we talk and they find out I'm a pastor and we start talking, I say, hey, do you go to church? You know, well, first, you know, I always make sure that they tell me they're believers, right, before I bring the church thing. Hey, are you? He says, I'm a believer. You know, yes, all those things. And he says, well, do you go to church? No. You know, do I have to? You know, or do I need to? You know, and et cetera, et cetera. And the conversation kind of goes that way. But see, this intellectual conviction, right? There's no surrender of the will. There's no coming together as a community. You know, and then you realize, wow, faith has not really been effective for you yet. You know, I mean, the certain aspects, but the fullness of what God has in store for that person, right, has not become effective. You know, and so it's important for us when we talk about faith, you know, and especially, you know, in faith, and I imagine right now in the realm of answered prayer is a lot of our discussions are roaming around those things, you know, and when we talk in that way, right, be keen, be aware of the action steps that God wants us to walk in. You know, it could be in giving, it could be in relationships, you know, it could be all those things. But if you really sense and you believe God about something, you know, there'll probably be some action, you know, that is a response from us. You know, and my whole, you know, point of this whole week in devotions is to try to stir you into that action by taking that step of faith. You know, and, you know, it's a step of faith, but it's something, you know, there's something there and things. And it's important for us to link the two, because if not, we're just going to be a bunch of brainy Christians, you know, and think we believe this and we believe that, you know, and it doesn't work that way. There's a really good passage, and I'll just close with this, and I've taught on this many times, but in John chapter 6, right, and I think this is the real seal, you know, the deal that seals it. And in John 6, you know, the guys, Jesus just does an incredible miracle. The guys turn to Jesus, right? They're not his disciples, but other people, and says, Lord, what should we do that we may work the works of God? Do you remember that passage? He says, what should we do that we may work the works of God? It's John 6:28, I believe. You know, and, right, Jesus turned to them and says, the work that I have for you to do is to believe. You know, and the discourse may sound very odd. And he says, because these guys are saying, what do you want me to do? He says, what I want you to do is to believe. See, in Jesus' economy, belief was the work, right? You know, so it wasn't just a cognitive, well, okay, I believe, because they're asking for work, right? And so in the Lord's economy, if you really believe, the work would take care of itself, right? I mean, if you really believed, work would just flow out of you. You know, and so Jesus had a very, very clear understanding of faith in action, or faith is action. Because he believed that if you really believe, if you really had faith, work would just flow out of you. You know, I mean, you don't have to tell people to preach the gospel, because if you really believe, preaching just happens. You don't have to tell people to give and be generous, because if you really believe, you would be generous. Because you know who your God is, a generous God. You know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let's close our eyes today. And I feel like God really wants to challenge us in this area of faith. But more than anything else, I feel like God wants us to take a step of faith. Now, some of this has to do with our church, obviously, but I think a lot of it's just even more personal than that. I really sense that God is calling many of us to take a step, or even for some of us, a leap of faith to go before the Lord. And I just want to, as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, just begin to search our hearts and see, God, is there any area that I need to make my faith effective to move beyond intellectual conviction, but there'll be some feet to the vision here. So let's just begin to pray for our community, and let's ask God that as a people of God, that we would be operating in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pray that individually and as a church, that we would really take steps of faith, that we would actualize the things that we are sensing in our hearts, that God always rewards those who earnestly seek after Him. That's the second part of 11:6 Hebrews. And so if God is challenging you, or if you know that God's challenging someone in our community, let's just begin to lift them up before the Lord. I know God is challenging us as a church. And so let's lift up Solomon's Porch as a church, that we would begin to actualize this faith, that it may become effective. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Conduit Road and for Pacific Place. Let's ask God to just bless the leaders, and a real sense of warmth and community would be established in each house church. Pray for a real ministry to take place, and people just sense God's love and care, and as the worship and the eating and the fellowship is going on, that Jesus Christ would be the center of it all. And let's just pray for our two house churches. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Uzbekistan, and let's ask God to just continue to have mercy on Tashkent Bethel Church, and just begin to continue to move over my father as he tries to find his role and you know, a bit of an exit strategy for him as he's getting older. Pray for his health, and pray that God would just really begin to move in that whole region, and that people would come to know Jesus every single day through that place. Let's just cover Uzbek. Thank you. And lastly, let's continue to intercede for our church move and our building and our fundraising campaign, and that God would just really show up in such a powerful way that, you know, He knows where we need to move to. He knows our needs, and let's just really pray that God would just really come through for us. And we just thank Him in advance for His graciousness and faithfulness to us. So let's just lift up this whole project before the Lord and all the leaders that are really grabbing a hold of their responsibilities during this time. Let's just lift them up as well. Lord, as individually as a church, God, we want to walk by faith and not by sight. God, we want to, Lord, take steps of faith, leaps of faith, God. Lord, knowing that You're there to catch us, Lord, and You're there to sustain us, God. And it's not like we're doing it on our own, Lord. You're always with us. And so just give us the courage and the strength to step out, God. Even, Lord, like that immoral woman, Lord, to enter into a place where she's despised, God. Lord, we want to enter into all different places, God, and not just the friendly confines of church, Lord. We want to go out, Lord, and minister Your prophetic truth, Father God. And so we just pray for a grace, God, and an understanding and the faith, God, the courage to step out, Lord, because it's about You. Yeah, it's not about us. So would You watch over us this day, God, and just place Your hands, Lord, over all of our prayers, Lord, and God, that You would move on our behalf, Lord, because You're righteous, God. We thank You. We bless You, God. We want to give Your Son Jesus glory today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and please continue to stick around and pray and seek the Lord.